Lead mining has been huge. Starting our sixth year in business, this year we're going to hit $875,000 in sales. And that is only for lead gen. That's massive. Everyone's like, is there real estate included in that number? There is no real estate included in that number.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
I got Nick here with me today on the show. Nicholas, how are you?
I'm amazing. How are you?
Good. I'm great. I'm excited to talk to you. We run in a similar circle, so I'm pumped for today's conversation. Tell me, we all got into real estate somehow. What was your entry point into real estate?
Man, I got so lucky. So I was a restaurant manager for 13 years and I had decided to walk out. And I believe that that's what you do after you have a career for 13 years. There's no other way to leave, right?
You just otherwise, walk out, burn the ships.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, otherwise I joke and I say my boss would have paid me more and I didn't want more money. I wanted out. Okay, there's a difference, right?
Yeah.
And so I left that career. And I sat unemployed for 9 weeks and I applied to every damn job I thought that I could do, every job. And that was every job but the restaurants. And so I get a call back from this real estate education company and I had a great interview with them and they actually hired me to be like an event coordinator to throw all their events for them. And I had no idea what real estate education was. And to be completely honest, I didn't know what the company did for the first 3 months of me even working there. You know, when you're flipping burgers for 13 years, and then I was working at a mentorship company, I was like, we're selling people's brains to other people so they learn how to invest in real estate. I was like, that's a thing, you know? And then in that company, over the next 9 months, I was lucky to get 2 promotions. I became the executive over the entire fulfillment team of the mentorship. My restaurant management career really taught me a lot, so I didn't have to spend too long in other entry-level positions. That was my introduction to real estate. And so that's really what got me in. And what was unique about my journey is as a restaurant manager, all I did was solve everyone's problems all the time. I got hair in my food. My food's cold, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Well, as an executive, I did the same thing, different problems. Nick, I'm unhappy. Nick, I don't like this. Nick, I don't like that. Bam. Well, I came up with all the solutions. To shortcut a little bit faster, the way I got into what I do now, lead generation, is I took what we taught our students, which I saw worked, and I applied it to my personal life. And then before I knew it, now I run this prestigious cold calling company, which is awesome. So it was really cool to see the progression happen over the years.
You talk about solving people's problems. I mean, the number one problem that people have in this industry is deals. I got to find deals, which means I need lead flow. Right?
Right. Exactly.
The biggest problem. Tell me, when you started with that, you bridged out of restaurants and into real estate on the education side. What year was that?
Man, you would think I'd remember right when I walked out, but I've been lead mining will be in its sixth year next year.
Yeah.
And it'll be 2023. Does that
2017, huh?
So 2017 is when lead mining was founded. So 2 years before that, was the start of that education company. So 2015 is when I started that journey. Wow, time flies.
Doesn't it fly? It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You must have started in restaurants when you're like 8 years old.
I was 16 when I first started back then.
A lot of years ago, a lot of burgers ago, I suspect, huh?
Yeah, tons of them. Complaints, burgers. Firing is one of my favorite things to do. And I got to say, and I'm sure people may gasp when I say that, but all I got to say is this. When you fire the right employee, everything gets magical in the office or in the restaurant, you know? And I rarely fired the wrong one, but when you fired the right one, it's like he's a jolly good fellow. Because that wrong employee has been pissing people off at your company for years before you caught on to it. And so when you fire that right guy, man, it works out real well.
The right guys you classify, they're cancer and they must be removed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Talk to me about lead mining. Talk to me about your business. You morphed out of the education company and instead, maybe, I guess, paint the picture for me. Were you buying and flipping and fixing property or did you literally go in just into the solving investors' number one problem?
So I was in pursuit of my own leads, right? When I first started cold calling, so what happened was I was the executive at that job. I then start working from home, and then I start cold calling every day in my free time. Now, at the time, I was looking for my first deal, no doubt about it, you know, but I didn't find it, never found it. And what happened was I realized that I was an amazing lead generator, not an amazing closer. And I ended up, big difference. I'm all customer service. You know, I want to serve people. There's a difference. Yeah,
that's what those in the restaurant business do, right? They want to make everybody happy.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I'm not here to like, yeah, just sell me the house, bottom dollar. Give me this great price. You know, the negotiation tactics. And I'll be honest with you. I've been a career employee for almost 15 years at this time. So the idea of making money in big lump sums wasn't that attractive to me. I wanted to get paid weekly, which is actually how I ended up founding. One of our biggest things at Lead Mining is every package is weekly or monthly. You actually get to choose, because I was like, I want my customers to pay me on the same interval I've been used to being paid for the last 15 years. Yeah. And then customers found me and they were like, no contracts, no commitments, and it's weekly. Like, this is great. I don't have to go out and pay for a dialer. I don't have to go out and commit to an employee. I could just use you, man. I love this. And so really cool that I accidentally used my life and how I like to live it, getting paid weekly, to then also bring that into lead gen. But, you know, lead mining has been huge. Starting our 6th year in business, that is so impressive. This year, we're going to hit $875,000 in sales. And that is only for lead gen. And that's massive. Everyone's like, is there real estate included in that number? No, there is no real estate included in that number. Yep. And thank you very much. And our marketing budget is only $10 a day right now, where we acquire new customers. And it's because I'm so hand to hand. Like, if you go to the website right now, which it is leadminingpros.com, and you'll see the phone number on there is my cell phone. You call that, you get me. So I will say I do trade out my marketing budget for a shitload of one-on-one time with my clients, right? Yep. You know, one-on-one time is a great way to get great word of mouth. And that's kind of how I run lead mining now. I'm very hands-on. I think because I used to be in that education company. Yep. And because I want to service people so much that I put the restaurant, the education, and the lead gen all together. And now I'm like full hands-on lead gen. And I want my customers to feel like they made the right choice with us.
I want to do a couple of things. I want to go down the rabbit hole of what the business is, lead gen specifically. And then I want to talk about where you see other investors. Where do they get it? Where do they screw it up? Where do they hit home runs? What do they do really well once it leaves you on the lead gen side and goes to them?
Right.
So talk to me about what you do from a lead gen standpoint, cold call, text, what else you do. Yeah. So talk to me a little more about that.
Absolutely. So what we are is, I coined the phrase all-inclusive lead generation company. Okay. And so that's basically what we are. You bring us your zip codes and your money, and we pull all the records you need in that market. We pull absentee owners with 35% or greater. We can pull vacants, owner occupieds, pre-foreclosures, anything you want. Then we pull all those for you. We skip trace them for you for phone number. We call everyone up to 3 times if they don't answer. And we text blast everybody as well for you. Now, if anyone text back positively, we continue texting for you completely free. So you don't just get the blast, you get the blast plus the employee and the responses. And then we only send you the entire transcript. So it's really like a white glove lead generation service that takes you out of it. And just, you don't have to worry about the dialer, the employees, the scripts. Are they working? Can they tell they're in the Philippines or any of that stuff? Are none of your issues when you hire us. Your only issue now is, what the hell are you going to do when you get leads? And as you can imagine, that's how we like it.
Yep. No, there's no doubt about that. So speaking of that, what do they do when they get leads? What do you see people doing it really right? Your best clients, they're doing what really well? But past closing, I mean, how do they get to, what are they doing from a follow-up sequence standpoint, whatever it may be?
You know, if I could be honest with you, the answer is attitude. There is really one differentiator between successful people and unsuccessful people, and that is attitude. Okay. The successful people know that they're going to have to churn through leads, that they're going to have to try this, that they're going to have to touch and go, and they're going to have to see what's up. Okay. You know, the people with the poor attitude go, Nick, I got six leads. None of them closed. This isn't working. Well, if that's the attitude, then this is never going to work for you. Okay. If you think you should be closing one in six, I think you just showed your age. You must be really new at this, right? You know, it's like you're lucky to close one in 20, and some people say one in 50, right. You know? And so it's like to really understand what they do wrong is the attitude. If we were to flip that, they get discouraged too easy. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they think the road is yellow bricked and it's not, it's paved in poop. Okay? Yeah. It's not how you think it is. And so the biggest problem is they don't actually pursue their leads, or they give me an excuse, or they have an excuse on why they did. It didn't look hot enough or whatever it is. And the ones that are doing it right are, you know what, Nick, I call every lead no matter what they say. I have a great attitude. I always think it's going to work out, because when you bring that positive energy, people want to talk to you. If I call you up grumpy and frustrated, that person isn't going to wait to get off the phone with you. Correct. And what we don't realize as investors and realtors is that our energy means more than anything that's coming out of our mouth. You know, if you're showing up like crap, but you're saying all the right things, it doesn't matter. You need to show up perfect and say all the right things as well. And so I think only people with a good attitude can do that. People with a bad attitude often have excuses on why they can't do that.
Tell me, I'm curious, where'd you grow up?
I moved out of South Florida in the second grade, and I moved to Lakeland, Florida, which is this little town. And back when I moved there was more cows than people. True story. Yeah. And it's not that way anymore. It's so overpopulated now, which is wild. But, you know, when I grew up, there was definitely a different vibe. But, you know, it was nice. My parents are from New England. So I do have a very strong New England lifestyle, if you will. You know, very direct, very fun, and very New York-esque. A lot of people that meet me, they think I'm from New York or New Jersey or something because of that.
Have you been to the vault? Real Grit Vault. .com. Listen, we've got multiple guests who come on, and oftentimes they bring us little tips, tricks, tools, scripts, Excel calculators, a multitude of things, and they share it. They share it for you. You can get them totally free, totally free. RealGritVault.com. Never been on the show who's brought everything. It's all behind the vault. Get it. RealGritVault.com. Thinking back to your childhood, is there anything that shaped you, or maybe what shaped you most to have the kind of viewpoint on life that you have? You're very go-getter and you're very positive at the same time. So the family atmosphere, was there event standpoint?
You know, my dad was pretty awesome, is really what my big deciding factor was. And he really ingrained me with a lot of positive, I don't even want to use the word affirmations, because my dad didn't affirm me. He wasn't like, you're the best, right? But he taught me to be the best. And I think that there's a big difference there. You know, he never said, Nick, you're going to be the greatest. And a lot of people, they want to speak affirmations. I've never been an affirmations guy. I'm an action guy. Mm-hmm. And you know, the way my dad raised me was, you shut your mouth and you get to work. Don't open your mouth and then not show up to work. And so some of the big things that really benefited me from my childhood was, you know, definitely my father's influence. And, you know, he used to ground me if I said I can't. Ground him. And he would make me reframe it to say, no, say, you're going to do the best you can. You're going to do the best you can. That's what you need to say. And we don't even realize how much those things affect us in our adulthood. Like when I meet someone and they're scared of something, like that triggers me. And it took me a long time. If I'm being honest with you, I realized this 3 weeks ago. It took me a long time to realize that I'm being triggered because I used to get grounded for saying I can't. So when someone else is like, I can't, I'm like, what the fuck did you just say? excuse me for cussing, Neil. But I'm like, what the hell did you just say? Like, that's not the way I was raised. That's not the way my life works. You know, and it's like, it was so beaten out of me, not literal, but figuratively beaten out of me as a kid that when it shows up in other people, I like get offended for my dad almost. But I think that little tips like that, another thing also all my dad, he always spoke to me about diplomacy and win-wins. He said, you want everyone to win all the time. You want to hear everybody out, which I still have a hard time listening, but I'm getting better. But he's like, you want to hear everybody out. You want to make sure you have all the information. And I'm like 8, right? So I'm not like, my dad's not like talking to a sensible human being.
Right.
Like he's saying things to me before I knew what the hell he was even talking about. And then not until I was an awesome customer servicer in the restaurant on the street, an awesome leader for like 50 employees on a single shift, that I realized that I was very diplomatic and I was always creating win-wins. And I was like, oh my God, like I literally think it's just him programming those words into me almost created this.
How does that show up in your leadership style today with your employees? And then more specifically, your culture, what kind of environment do you have there at on your team?
So I love that you asked. So I think our secret sauce is really employee morale, right? Everyone likes to be there. Now, one thing the restaurant industry taught me is everyone wants something different, right? One thing I used to do is I used to give, if you did something I wanted every day in the restaurant, I'd give you free food. I'd be like, hey, sell 5 alcoholic drinks, I'll give you free food, for example. Yeah. Well, I realized if you didn't have an appetite, you didn't give a shit if I offered you free food or not. You're like, what do I care, Nick? I'm not hungry. Okay. Right. So I learned very quickly that each person is incentivized differently. And with this, you know, specific example, I do the same thing with my team. So we offer 2 different teams at Lead Mining, American callers and foreign callers. When I say Americans, I don't mean expatriates like a lot of my competitors do. All of my Americans are guaranteed to live in America, and I pay them all $13 to $20 an hour, somewhere in that range. But with our 2 different teams, I run them totally different. My Americans, I treat like Uber drivers. They only work whenever they want to because Americans are a little more finicky. And cold calling sucks, right? Let's not even deny that. Cold calling is like the worst, okay? It's hard to do. You're getting yelled at all day long. You got to sit still.
I'm not denying it.
Yeah, it's tough. And so I'm like, I don't want to make people do this. That sounds like that sucks, right? I want to make people do this. So I want to give people the choice to do it. So one of our biggest pieces of secret sauce is that my employees work whenever they want to only. There is no force to work. And that works out amazing for employee morale. They can never be at work saying, I'm supposed to be at a doctor's appointment right now. Well, go to the doctor's appointment. Yeah. And hey, get out of here. What are you doing? You know, it's like I work with them so well. So that's been huge. So that's one way I think of a win-win in a great way. The other win-win that I offer is I've learned that I don't really want my Americans working 40 hours a week. Cold calling isn't something you can do 40 hours a week. Your results are going to start to suck.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. I have learned that like 25 to 30 hours is good. That's really like a cap off point. You work 5 hours a day kind of thing, maybe 3 hours, 7 days a week, something, whatever it might be. So what I do with my team is every week, whenever they work 25 hours or more, I give them a $50 bonus. So since the job is optional, they don't have to work, right?
Right.
So instead of giving them a schedule, I go, hey, if you do want to work, you're going to make 50 extra bucks this week. And if you work 25 hours, you just gave yourself a $2 an hour raise. And you can stop right there, give yourself a raise, and then not dial for the rest of the week. I'm great with that. So those are a couple examples on how I employ win-wins today to ensure that my team is happy, my clients are happy. I mean, this one system solves a whole bunch of problems for me.
Percentage of the employees at work 24 hours a week?
Well, I guess percentage. So I have about 5 Americans that do most of my work, and I probably have 2 a week that hit the 25-hour mark, you know, and I do have like 8 foreign employees, and that same rule doesn't apply to them because we pay the foreign callers so well for where they're from. I pay all of them about $6 an hour that they don't want to stop working anyways. They're like, yeah. Like those foreign callers don't work 50 hours a week. My average foreign caller has been with me for 4 years.
Wow.
Which some people may watching me may go, wow, how is that possible?
Yeah.
But
it's incredible.
One thing I've learned is when you are, so there are two opposite teams, right? The Americans, they need time, they need freedom, they need to feel like entrepreneurs. The foreign team, they need money. That's all they want. They can sit there for 50 hours a week and do a great job cold calling. The American can't. So the foreign team, I pay a little bit better. In some cases, some people pay three. In that case, I pay twice as well right. to my callers. But I can tell you that even if you came to poach my caller, they wouldn't go anywhere. It's because they've been receiving $6 an hour from me for 4 years. And I'm under firm belief that even no matter what you said, they're like, look, I know Nick's going to pay me every week. I don't know if you are, you know? And so that stability on their side has been good. And the fluidity on the American side has been good. So it's been interesting to manage the two teams.
Different dynamic between the cultures. There's no doubt about that. You're right about the foreign side of things. They make really good employees. They're very dedicated.
Yeah, they do.
You've obviously kept them for a long time, which is very impressive. As you look forward into next year, 2023 and beyond, where are you guys headed?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I'm a realist, not an idealist. And we all want to hit $5 million a year in sales. But I mean, my prices are so cheap that do you know how much of this shit I got to sell to make $5 million a year? Like, I've really been thinking to myself that, not saying I don't want to make $5 million a year, but what is the reality of it? Is the reality that I'm going to be five times busier than I am right now? Or is the reality that I'm going to find a better vehicle while I'm still doing this? Now, lead mining is always going to exist. It's been running for 6 years. That puppy, I'm thankful to say, is on nearly autopilot by now. But, you know, Nicholas Nick himself, me,
yep.
You know, what's going to bring me to those numbers, you know, that is to be determined. I know that for lead mining itself, I'm creating this amazing continuity program inspired by Ron LeGrand, where we are launching, I'm going to give away five courses, basically every step along the journey, cold calling, getting leads, following up with leads, acquisitions, and moving leads. And then I'm going to throw in my cold calling course just as a bonus. Yeah. And then I'm going to give 2,000 records pulled and skip traced every month. I'm going to do all that for $100 a month. And I'm going to throw in a monthly mastermind meeting as well. So five courses, walk you through the real estate process, 2,000 records pulled and skipped, requested by you every month. And then that. And I think that's going to be a big gap. What I've learned is that I've learned so much over 6 years that my customers don't get all of my knowledge. And the reason why I'm creating these courses, I'm not really selling them. I mean, the 2,000 records alone is a $200 value for I'm giving for $100, let alone the courses and everything else, you know? And I'm doing that purposefully because what I have needs to be known by other people, especially if they're going to use my service. And I do spend a lot of one-on-one time with my clients, and I hate the idea that if they don't ask a certain question, they might not get a certain answer.
Right.
So that's why I'm creating all of these courses and this continuity program is just to get my education out into the ecosphere without really poisoning it as education as much. You know, so I think that's something that's going to blow the socks off in 2023. I think every customer that's ever called me needs that, even if it is just for 1 or 2 or 3 months. So I'm excited to launch something like that into the market.
No, that's exciting. And yeah, your ability to stack on some education along with your service from a lead standpoint is pretty great. I like the idea of adding for your business, for adding the continuity to it, right? A little more stability in terms of what you do. And
you know, and I don't want customers to think that they only have to use me for cold calling. And I think this kind of breaks that pattern, right? Sure. It's like, we offer a bunch of different services. So this kind of keeps you in my world in a positive way without being like, oh, only cold calling, or I don't feel like cold calling. So how do I use Nick? Well, something like this will teach you how to use me, even if you want to pursue any type of lead gen. So I'm really excited for what's going to come.
What's been your biggest challenge building your business?
What a great question. I haven't had a lot of challenges other than living my life. You know, I'll be honest with you, my personal life is way harder to get through than my business life is. You know, I've always been good at work. My dad always had this saying to me, Nick, if you were as good at your personal life as you were at business, you wouldn't have any problems. You know, and lucky for me, I was younger back then. And I don't really have a lot of those problems anymore, but it's just a great example that, you know, I can do work easier than anything else, you know, but if I was to name a problem, it would be me. You know, I've really gotten in my own way. The only leadership person on the team. And I'm very frugal, and that's been great for profits, but it's probably slowed my growth. You know, then we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing this for, right? If I could double my profits and do half the sales, isn't that great? If I could double my sales and do half the profits, isn't that the same? You know, so, but if I'm being fair, it's probably out of fear. You know, I could probably bring someone on, do a little bit more, and be a little bit more successful. And that's actually the phase I'm in now. So I'm trying to really get out of my own way. I think for the first time in my life, I've been in my own way in a business wise. Mm-hmm. I've been in my own way personally for a long time. Okay. You know? But business wise, this is the first time I've been in my own way. So I've been really focusing on how I can systematize, how I can do things better. One small example is I do a lot of one-on-one calls. Like anyone who's watching this, I have a one-on-one Zoom call on my website you can book with me. Well, I recently changed that to a group Zoom call because so many people were booking with me. I'm meeting for 4 hours a day with people that want to meet me. And I was like, well, how can I make this one call? So I go to one call and I have three of those one calls and there's like 10, 11 people on each one. It was awesome. However, I realized the shy customers I was losing. They're too shy. They're not saying anything. And if we were one-on-one, they wouldn't be able to be shy.
Right.
And you know what else, Neil? I'm not rich enough to lose customers yet. I don't know about you, dude, but I cannot be losing leads, just how my clients can. So I recently went back to one-on-ones until I can figure it out. Because until I can not lose any customers, am I going to make a change, right? Then that's the unique thing about me. That's kind of where I'm in my own way. It's hard to grow and provide so much service. However, I don't want to provide less service. You know, I want to keep the standard high. So until I'm done figuring that part out, which is how do I perform at a high level and take all my time back, I'm going to be here in the trenches grinding it all out.
It's interesting. We all have very similar challenges. You know, whatever business you're in has a lot of similarities, right? Lead gen, closing, sales, finance, et cetera. So it's interesting to hear your perspective on where the bottleneck is, which is today it's you, right?
Yeah.
Like so many small business owners experience.
Yeah.
They're the bottleneck. Yeah. Let's do this. I want to move on to the final segment, what I call 4-4 impact.
4-4 impact.
This is totally appropriate. Your favorite quote, you cannot solve a problem using the same level of thinking.
Oh, yes.
When it was created, right?
Yes.
I said it. So how appropriate coming off what you just said. What about that quote resonates most with you?
You know, you can't solve a problem using the same level of thinking you were at when it was created. You know, that spun off to another quote I created, which was, if you could solve your own problems, you wouldn't have any.
Mm.
Right? And I think it's very important for us to know that we have to become something else to really solve some of these problems. You know, and as long as we are this older version of ourselves, those older version problems are going to keep remaining constant in our lives. Not until we decide to put an end and kill that former us, are we really going to be able to solve our problems. And I'll just give a slight example of the day that I killed old Nick. And I was in the restaurant industry and I was mopping the floor and my mop bucket fell over. And there's like mop water everywhere in the cooler. It was like the worst place to spill a mop is in a freaking cooler. Okay. And I knocked this thing over everywhere. And I get frustrated and I throw the mop down and I walk out. And I'm like, no, that's old Nick shit there, Nick. Now we're doing new Nick. Okay. We're not being that guy anymore. We're not making our work other people's problems anymore. We are taking responsibility. We are cleaning up after ourselves. We are new Nick. This is literal internal dialogue from when I was like 19 years old. And I turned around and I grabbed the broom and the dustpan and the squeegee and the mop and I cleaned up my really big mess. And then from that day forward, I was literally able to recall that moment, just how I just was, and use that to push through as the person who doesn't have the problem anymore, right? Doesn't have these issues anymore. And it's like, we don't realize that when we're the sloppy guy or when we're the messy guy, that we're not pissing off clean people on purpose. but clean people are getting tired of our stuff. Mm-hmm. When we're the slow guy, fast people are getting frustrated with us, right? So it's like, what can we be doing to really protect ourselves from some of the problems that we're encountering? We want to tell ourselves, I didn't do anything to you, but you know, me knocking over something in the walk-in and not cleaning it and leaving it for the next guy, that is doing something to them. Right. But if I'm a regular old POS and I do this stuff all the time, I don't even realize I'm hurting you day in and day out and day in. And I'm saying my life has problems. You know, so for me, that story really helps a lot for me to discern, you know, when are we going to make a change? When are we going to take responsibility? It's probably a bigger quote, you know, and say, you know, people don't like me for me. I've got problems because of me. You know, this is no one else's fault. You know, one last thing I'll share is I used to call my parents for advice. And no offense to parents everywhere, but after your kid hits a certain age, they should really stop calling you for advice. And the reason why is you're the one who made them that way. So when they call you for advice, you're going to say bad things like, no, honey, you didn't do nothing wrong. You did everything right. Well, I'll tell you, you're right. I did everything right compared to you because you taught me to do it this way. So one thing, I was struggling in restaurants. I had leadership issues with my bosses. And don't get me wrong, these bosses had earned these leadership issues, okay? They were very frustrating to work with. And I remember I called my dad and I called my mom and I called my friend. I go, you're right, Nick, you're right. You're right. You're right. Your boss is such a jerk. You're right, Nick. And then I go to work and I've got this really bad freaking attitude and I'm all ramped up and I'm all angry at my boss. And the truth is, people that you love tell you you're right. And that hurts you because the truth is you're wrong. My mom kept telling me, it's everyone else's fault. It's everyone else's fault. And she didn't say it just like that because that's obvious. But she said, oh, honey, no, you did good. Da-da-da. It shows up as 1,000 different ways. And then I realized, you know what, guys? I realize what the problem here is. I have to, and not that I have to stop coming to you for advice, but on certain things, I have to stop asking them. Or maybe ask them to be more honest with me. Tell me, this is my fault. How could every boss I've ever had hate me and it be their problem? It is clearly my freaking problem if I don't want my bosses to hate me.
There's only one common denominator there, right?
That's right. And it's hard to grow past advice that you're getting. You know, it really is, especially from your parents. I mean, there's no one I love more on this planet than my parents. So I'm not saying anything negative. I'm giving a realization of what we do by accident. When we really need to be there for this person who's suffering right now. And it's not that it's my parents' fault, but they did train my parents. I don't even realize what a bunch of assholes we are, me and my family, until I hang out with other people. We all talk shit to each other. Like I said, they think we're all from New York. You know, we make fun of each other. We're direct, we're tough. So like when I meet other people, I'm like, what do you mean you can't take that? Well, in my house, it means love, all those things. Right? To strangers, they think I hate them. No, I'm loving on you. I'm loving on you, man.
Yeah.
You know, so just a small example there.
What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
Their personal next level? That's a great question. You know, I want a low-hanging fruit and just say attitude again, but let me be a little bit more. Let me change it to intention. Okay? You know, I think it's like their intention. Right. And you mentioned personal, so I'll go into that. When my business first took off, though, I used to be very poor. I borrowed money every week from my parents until I was 26 years old. Every week. I never had more than $3,000 in my bank account until I was 33 years old. And that was just because I got a $3,000 bonus at work. Okay. So I've never been really one of like too much privilege. You know, but I think what happened to me was when my business took off, I thought that I had problems in life because I didn't have money. And then I started making money, a lot of it, a lot of it for being as broke as I was. Let me put it like that. I started making money. And then I started realizing, shit, I've got money and all of my problems are still here. And I believe that I literally envisioned this, like I was standing on top of a mountain of success, financial success. But as I looked across the valley, every other part of my life had craters in it. Relationships, personal relationships, you know, emotional stability. Let's be honest. Okay. Emotional stability. I was a little late on that. I was very energetic, very intense growing up. I still am. You know, I'm just getting better at it, you know? And so when I stood on this one mountaintop and I surveyed the land, I saw that the only thing I had accomplished is financial success. And I didn't stop and slow down and go back and build up all those mountains prior to that point. As soon as I had this epiphany, I decided to use my income to then go to therapy, to then get physical therapy for my body that hurt, go to therapy for my brain that hurt. I found people. I used to be a bit of a bully in my school days, even though I was only like 4 foot nothing. But I went and I found people that I picked on and I apologized. Like, I really went back and built those mountains. And so if we were to relate that story on what stops investors leveling up in their personal lives, I think that while you're achieving success, it's easy not to focus on your problems and focus on the success. That's like another form of comfort zone. And then when you do that, you hinder your personal growth. Instead, I used my success as a way to see that I had no growth anywhere else. And then I decided to even off my skill set, in a sense, was at least what I strive to do. Whether I did that or not is up for the viewers to judge. But at least that was my goal to accomplish.
Tell me, outside of real estate, what are you most, and generating leads, what are you most passionate about?
Man, wow. You know, I mean, definitely my girlfriend. Valeska has been awesome. I've been in a relationship for 3 years and like we're in a family, you know, it's only us two, but we feel like a family, you know, we feel great. And going back to what I was saying, like, she's my great reminder of my why. Like, I'm doing this for kids one day. Yeah. I had a great childhood. I want to give someone else a great childhood. And, you know, one of my biggest passions is, and especially this is hard because I'm so intense, but it's living peacefully. You know, peace and intensity are opposites. There's no doubt about it. And it can be hard for me to balance, but I feel like she brings me the peace. And then my job brings me the intensity. And, you know, and it's been very nice to realize if I didn't have her, I don't know where I'd be. I don't think I'd be as healthy as I am today, mentally, physically, emotionally.
Put a ring on it, man. All right. What's your favorite way to make
tell her, I'm working on it.
You're going to tell her I said, what's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
You know, my favorite thing is, for those that don't follow me yet, I recommend you do, even if it's on Facebook, is I produce mindset tips. I've been making mindset tips for over 4 years. And if I'm even in this conversation, I just said something, but when I watch back the recording, I'll make it into a mindset tip. I said a couple of things that if I wasn't in a podcast, I actually would stop mid-sentence, pull out my phone, and then write it down. Because with ADHD, it's the only way I get things done. But I love serving others by trying to lift them up. I'm a big fan of not serving others by gloating or FOMO. I may have a mural behind me. I've got a couple of cars that are really nice. If you follow me on social media, you'll never see any of that. Yeah. You know, I'm not here to rub salt in your wounds. I'm here to lift you up. And so one thing I really like to do is I really like to be a part of someone's success. So I came up with these mindset tips. I have over 1,000 of them.
Wow.
And I post them I can't believe I'm at 1,000. You know, and I have a VA track them, so I actually know how many I'm at. but you know, it's really cool. And it's my favorite part about mindset tips is they all come from natural conversations, just like we're having here. Yeah. I'll get an idea. And then the fun part is actually articulating that idea in a way that works and lifts other people's up without hurting them.
Yeah.
You know, and I really take pride in that. Anyone watching, you can find, probably find me on Facebook at Nicholas Nick, and you'll see a lot of mindset tips get posted, and you'll kind of see what I mean. It's not as easy as it seems to get an idea and articulate it and make it make sense all at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we launched the Real Grit Vault here this year, a collection of resources available to our listeners. I understand you're making a contribution to the vault for the benefit of the listeners. Maybe share a little about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to drop off our four most popular scripts inside of the vault. These scripts are going to include a seller script, which is going to tell you exactly what to say to a seller when you cold call them. It's going to be a seller lead callback script, which is like, let's say you were to hire us and get a lead, what you should say when you call them back. It's going to have a missed callback script. So when our clients hire us, they sometimes get missed calls that call them back, and I have a script for them to use. So when they say, hey, you just called me, it's a way for them to convert that person into a lead. And lastly, you're going to get our buyer script. So if you're looking for cash buyers in the marketplace, you're going to get the exact script my company uses in all of these instances to help further your business.
No, that's terrific. I appreciate the contribution to the vault. For anybody there, grab the scripts out of the vault. It's www.realgritvault.com. Nick, for people who want to find you, they want to follow you, they want to connect with you, they want to learn more about lead mining and your services there, what can they do? Where should they go?
So the number one place to find us is leadminingpros.com. That is the best place to find us. My cell phone number is on the website. So if you even want to talk or just test to see if I actually answer the phone when it rings, feel free to give us a call. But I really encourage you guys, check out the website. I also created a custom coupon code just for all the viewers today. That coupon code is the name of the podcast, and that is Real Grit, all one word. So if you go to the website, you use this code, it's only going to save you $1 on your purchase. However, we're going to give you 10% more in deliverables. So if you buy 10,000 dials, you're going to get 1,000 dials completely free just for using that coupon code.
Incredible. Thanks for doing that for the audience. Absolutely. We'll make sure we get to all the links, Facebook link and the website placed below in the show notes. Nicholas, I appreciate you taking the time to connect on here. Absolutely. You've got an amazing story. I love hearing the journey about how you found your way into this industry and really how you give back in such a terrific fashion. The mindset tips, I love you. The fact that you hit 1,000 is mind-blowing, is it not? I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, no,
it's terrific. I appreciate you taking the time to connect on here. Thanks so much. For everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. See you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone? If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode. Hey, it's Neil Timmons. I've got a question for you. Are you a fix and flipper and want to leverage your skills, build passive income, create bigger paydays? Maybe you buy and hold rental houses and you want to increase your income by working less. Maybe you're executing on the Burr methodology and times being what they are, you're finding more cash locked into a deal. Maybe you want more predictable profits, or maybe this is your first go at real estate. Well, I've got a challenge for you. The 20X Profit Challenge. It's hosted and taught by yours truly. I'm going to teach and show you over the course of 5 days in this totally free challenge, how to 20X your profit. Lesson one's a game changer, multiplying your income and capital fast. Lesson two is the perfect plan. I'm going to show you how to be getting off market 20X profit deals coming to you. the cash flow multipliers, lesson three, how to rapidly force appreciation and income growth. Lesson four is the deal accelerator, buying and holding profit guarantee properties. And lesson five, the wealth accumulator, consistently closing a 20x profit deals. I'm going to show you exactly my methodology, exactly what I did to go from where I was at, not achieving the results I wanted to achieve in my life, not achieving that passive income that I hoped for, that I knew I was capable of, and in 3.5 years, becoming financially free. I'm going to do that in a 5-day free challenge. To sign up, go to 20xprofitchallenge.com. 20xprofitchallenge.com. We've got one coming up. Go there now. Register. It's totally free. 20xprofitchallenge.com. And I'll see you in the challenge.